Rule number 6. You should never read other people's private correspondence. Mr. Johnson gave Kevin a hard hat. That's because his company won the estimate to work on our new roof. I'd have thought my parents would have been excited about this, since they had bought an old house on purpose to have the fun of fixing it up. But all my dad did was go around muttering, $6,000, under his breath. Mom and Dad might have owed the roofing man $6,000, but I was the one who was really suffering. I had to go on a field trip to the most boring place in the entire world, and on the same bus as my ex-best friend, who had accidentally, on purpose, ruined my last field trip. Not only that, but I had to walk my little brother to and from school every day while he was wearing a hard hat. It was totally embarrassing. Not that my friends were embarrassed. They thought it was cute, as usual. But Kevin's embarrassing affection for his new hard hat and my having to go on a field trip to a totally boring place with my ex-best friend Mary Kay Shiner weren't the only things that were upsetting me. Even the fact that my mom still wouldn't budge on the cell phone issue, despite how responsible I'd been trying to be, and okay, I still hadn't found my Nintendo, even though I'd searched through my entire closet while looking for something 1850-ish to wear on Friday, wasn't bugging me as much as this other thing. No. What was really bothering me was what had happened while I'd been presenting our group project to the class the day before our field trip to Honey Pot Prairie. I had been standing in front of room 209 because my group had elected me spokesperson, which was all right, because I am going to be a veterinarian slash actress when I grow up, so I don't mind speaking in front of crowds. I mean, it's a little scary having so many pairs of eyes on you, but I just tell myself one of my favorite rules. It's all good practice for when you're famous. Talking about life in the 1850s. Being a woman in 1850s America was very hard. I was saying. Basically, the only jobs you could have if you were a woman back then were a laundress, a seamstress, a maid, a nanny, a factory worker, or a teacher or nurse, if you were lucky enough to be accepted to one of the few colleges that let women go to them, which there weren't many of back then. You couldn't be anything else, especially if you were African American or Native American or Asian American. For instance, you couldn't be a veterinarian. You could be an actress, but that would scandalize your family, and they would pretend not to know you. You couldn't be a lawyer, or a doctor, or a scientist, or a railroad engineer, or a writer, unless you wrote under an anonymous name. And you couldn't be a politician, because women weren't even allowed to vote. So, basically, being a woman in olden times was very, very bad. It was right then that there was a knock on the classroom door, and Mrs. Wright, the administrative assistant from Mrs. Jenkins' office, came in. And she was carrying the biggest bouquet of red roses I had ever seen. They were so big, you could barely even see Mrs. Wright's head. "Mrs. Hunter," Mrs. Wright said, smiling really big from behind the roses, "these just arrived for you. I thought I'd better bring them right up because, well, there isn't really room for them in the office." She set them in their crystal vase on the stool next to where I was standing and left, still smiling. We all stared at the bouquet. So did Mrs. Hunter, from her desk where she was still sitting in the back of the room. Her mouth opened just a little bit in astonishment. Cheyenne was the first one to say anything, as usual. "Mrs. Hunter," she said, her hand flying into the air. "Aren't you going to see who they're from?"
"Yes, I am," Mrs. Hunter said. She'd started to turn a little pink. "I'm very sorry for the interruption, class."
Mrs. Hunter got up from her seat and hurried to the front of the room, her high heels making tippity-tap sounds on the floor. Then she picked up the little white envelope that was sitting tucked inside the roses. It seemed to take her a long time to get the envelope open. All of us watched in total silence. I looked over at Caroline and Erica and Sophie like, "Can you believe this?" But they just looked back at me like, "Whoa, no." So did everyone else in the class. Except Cheyenne, who was giggling and whispering excitedly with M and D. What did Cheyenne know that we didn't? Everything, apparently. Well, Cheyenne thinks she knows everything anyway. I was sure when I got a cell phone,
I'd know everything, too. I was standing next to the huge bouquet, which, sitting on the stool, was as tall as me. I couldn't believe how much those roses smelled. Also, how many of them there were. It was like being inside a rose garden or a beauty pageant. Mrs. Hunter had finally gotten the envelope open and was reading what the scribbly writing said on the tiny card that had come inside it. She was standing so close to me that I couldn't help stealing a little glance at the card as well. I didn't mean to look, but it was right there in front of me. And even though I know it's a rule that you should never read other people's private correspondence, it was like my eyes were just glued to that card. I couldn't pull them away. I was just so curious about who had sent Mrs. Hunter flowers in the middle of a school day. Even though I sort of already knew, it had to be the man with the suitcase, the one who had thrown rocks at our windows. But unfortunately, I couldn't tell what he'd said on the card. It just looked like a big old bunch of scribbles to me. I've never been very good at reading cursive written by grown-ups. The only word I could really read was the signature. David. David? Was David the name of Mrs. Hunter's old friend? Well, Mrs. Hunter said finally, looking up from the card. She had a big smile on her face. Whoever David was, and whatever he had said in his card, Mrs. Hunter definitely liked it. I apologize for the disturbance, class. Excellent job, Allie. She patted me on the back. For a second, I couldn't figure out why. Then I remembered that I just finished my presentation. Check plus plus. Well, I thought, at least Lenny will be happy. Then Mrs. Hunter picked up the giant vase of roses, staggered back to her desk with it, and called for the next group to give their presentation. Just like that, like nothing had happened at all. Of course, at recess, everyone came up to me and asked what the card had said, and I had to admit to them that I didn't know, because I hadn't been able to read the writing on it, except for the name David. He asked her to marry him, Cheyenne said with her usual know-it-allness. He had to have. That's so dorky. I couldn't believe her. She thinks she knows everything. Who would send flowers asking someone to marry them at their job? That's not romantic. Mrs. Hunter would never marry a guy like that. Although the truth was, now that Cheyenne mentioned it, I realized the words on the card could have said, "Would you marry me? Love, David." But they could also have said a lot of other things, such as, "Thanks for letting me stay at your apartment while I was in town visiting. I had a very nice time. You are an excellent hostess. Sincerely yours, David." They could very easily have said that. That would be a proper thing to say to an old friend who had let you stay on her fold-out couch. Cheyenne rolled her eyes. You're such an immature baby, Allie. It was the same man with the suitcase who threw rocks at our window the other day. Her old friend. Mrs. Hunter obviously reconnected with an old flame, and he can't stand to be away from her for even a second because he's so very much in love with her. So he asked her to marry him. I think it's very romantic. Joey Fields, who'd been hanging around listening to our conversation, as he often does at recess because none of the boys will play with him because he's so weird and barks all the time, said, looking directly at me, "I plan on proposing to the woman I love exactly the same way." I rolled my eyes and suggested we go play queens. Joey never follows us into the bushes because he's afraid of thorns. Later that day, when we were sitting on the bed at Erica's house after school, I couldn't help saying, "I just don't like it." "Why not?" Erica cried, looking disappointed as she stood in front of her full-length mirror. "Not your outfit," I said quickly. "Mrs. Hunter and this David guy." "What don't you like?" Caroline asked. "If they get married," I said, "he's going to make her move to wherever he lives out of town." "Why would he do that?" Sophie asked. "He could move here to live with Mrs. Hunter." "We don't even know they're getting married," Caroline said. "Cheyenne just made that up. You know how she is." But I knew that Cheyenne was right, because Mrs. Hunter getting married and moving away was the worst thing that could happen. And lately, hadn't all the worst things that could happen to me happened?
We're all going into fifth grade next year anyway, Caroline said. So what does it even matter?
But Mrs. Hunter might teach fifth grade next year, I said. What? Everyone cried, looking at me. Also, where did you hear that? They asked. And I never heard Mrs. Hunter was going to be teaching fifth grade next year.
Well, I said slowly, I don't know where I heard that. I didn't want to admit that I had just made this up because I liked Mrs. Hunter so much that I couldn't bear the thought of having some other teacher next year. Kind of the way Cheyenne had made it up about Mrs. Hunter and David getting married. I'm just saying it could happen, I said. Teachers switch grades sometimes if they really, really like their students. Especially if it's a student who is as much a joy to have around the classroom as I am. But if she marries this David guy and he makes her move away to wherever he lives, it definitely won't happen, I added. I like Mrs. Hunter, Caroline said, but I wouldn't mind having someone new for fifth grade.
I couldn't believe Caroline would say this. I wanted Mrs. Hunter to be my teacher forever. I don't think Mrs. Hunter is the kind of person who would do something just because a man asked her to, Sophie said. I mean, unless David is a doctor for very poor people in some underdeveloped country without running water, and he asked her to go there with him to help teach the little orphans while he heals the sick. Then I could see her doing it.
My mom says Sophie's parents let Sophie watch way too much unsupervised TV. I don't think Mrs. Hunter would want her little boy to be in some country without running water around very sick people, Erica said.
Anyway, what do you think? Do you think I look like a girl from the 1850s? We all looked at the outfit she was wearing.
Totally, I said, because one of my rules is that it's always better to lie if that lie makes someone feel better.
Definitely, Caroline said. Well, Sophie said, not really.
Caroline and I shot Sophie a look. The look said, "What's wrong with you?" Because Erica had been freaking out all week about putting together her extra credit period costume to Honey Pot Prairie. Now we were sitting in her bedroom playing fashion stylists. Unfortunately, without the help of a giant touchpad screen like they had at the Barbie exhibit at the Children's Museum. Trying to find the perfect thing that a girl from 1850s America might wear, and we'd finally kind of come up with something we all had in our closets. But Sophie had ruined it.
I'm sorry, Sophie said, but no girl in the 1850s would have worn jeans and a flannel shirt. That's how boys dressed. Girls all had to wear long dresses. It was against the law for them to do anything else, like Allie said in her presentation.
Well, I said, Mrs. Hunter just said we had to try. She didn't say we had to do it exactly perfect.
Right, Caroline said. And we can't help it if things back in the 1850s were totally unfair. I mean, the women had to work just as hard as the men, but they had to do it all in a long dress, with no right to vote, and with half the pay. Or sometimes no pay.
This is so dumb, Sophie said in frustration. I don't know why we're even trying. Those girls from Walnut Knolls, not to mention Cheyenne, are going to look way better than we do, no matter what we wear anyway. At least based on everything Allie said about that birthday party.
Sometimes I wished I hadn't complained quite so much as I had about what had happened at Brittany's birthday party.
A good rule is, if you went somewhere and had a terrible time, maybe tone it down a little when you're describing it to people later, or they might blow it out of proportion, and then it could come back to haunt you.
But the costume thing is for extra credit, I pointed out. And besides, Cheyenne's cheating. Mrs. Hunter said the costumes have to be homemade.
Cheyenne isn't still going to do that, Erica said. I mean, not after Mrs. Hunter said not to.
We all just looked at Erica.
Okay, Erica said, seeing our reflections in her mirror. You guys can think I'm dumb, but I refuse to believe it. Even Cheyenne wouldn't do something like that after Mrs. Hunter came right out and told us not to.
We looked at her some more. Then Erica laughed.
Oh, all right, she said. You're probably right. And I guess I do look totally modern in this.
What are you troglodytes doing?
A voice from the doorway asked.